Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFlex Limited Q4 FY24 results conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. Hope you all and your family members are staying safe and healthy. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group President, Finance and Accounts and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sujit Pal, Vice President, Investor Relations. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remark, and then we would have a question-and-answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sachin. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for the Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. We will start with a brief statement from Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group President and CFO, following which we will open the forum for the interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to quickly remind everybody that anything that we say during this call that refers to our outlook for the future is a forward-looking statement that must be taken in the context of the risks that we face. With this, I would now request Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, to make his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Sachin. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome all of you to the UFlex Q4 and fiscal year 2024 earnings conference call. Hope that you all had a chance to look at our earnings and the presentation we shared. I'll start by outlining some of the key highlights of the quarter. In hindsight, I think this is quite a positive performance in this quarter. We've seen about 8% volume growth led by higher volumes across all our business segments. We have seen improvement in revenue and EBITDA. I'll call it adjusted EBITDA because there is a lot of elements in Q4 as well as in FY 2024 on account of the currency fluctuations and all. So I think we'll have to sort of keep that aside and look at the operational EBITDA aspects. So this quarter, revenue growth was driven by the strong sales performance, growth in sales, as well as margins, and which is in both categories, films as well as the packaging business. Our revenues for the quarter grew by about 4.5% on a Q&Q basis to close to about 3,497 crores and 3% year-on-year basis. And the volumes grew by 10.5% year-on-year and 6.8% quarter-on-quarter to about 157,850 MTPA. The film business grew by 13.7% year-on-year on volumes and 6.3% quarter-on-quarter. Our value-added packaging business, including flexible packaging, liquid packaging, holographic, witnessed a volume growth of 8.7% quarter-on-quarter and 1.5% on a year-on-year basis. The profitability improved about 6.9% on a quarter-to-quarter basis and 6.3% on a year-on-year basis. and EBITDA margins also improved slightly. For the quarter, we had an EBITDA margin of 13% and normalized EBITDA of about 455 crores. Last quarter, we had an EBITDA of 426 crores. The domestic packaging film market still remains subdued in terms of the pricing. The volumes are good, but the overcapacity has led to erosion of the selling prices as well as the margin. And even internationally, because of the excess capacity in India, there is an impact because while there was already an impact of the Europe reeling under the aftermath of the Ukraine war, energy prices going up, but the increased competition from India is also added to the pressure on the realizations over there. And the businesses in terms of volumes are coming back, as I had said last time also, and Q4 bears the testimony to that. But still, I would say that pressure on the realization and margins is still prevalent over there. And hopefully, with the rural demand now picking up, as we saw at the fag end of Q4 24, there'll be a possibility of a volume growth both in packaging films and flexible packaging and aseptic packaging as we enter into FY25. As we go into FY25, one of the very important milestone for us is that, we've also developed a machine in the liquid packaging which can do about 25,000 packs per minute. Earlier we had a machine which could do only 10,000 packs an hour, fill only about 10,000 cartons an hour. But now, this machine, we are also, Drupa, which is currently going on in Germany, we've also demonstrated there. So this will further lead to, as we are, going to have a higher capacity of our aseptic packaging division later this year, I think this machine will further augment our volumes much from 7 to 12 billion packs much faster, given its speed. And, because the competition already had a machine which could do a much higher number than 10,000 cartons per hour. So we've also now successfully launched our higher capacity machine for catering to the aseptic packaging customers. Overall, if we see the businesses in U.S., that is North America, as well as in Mexico markets, I think the Q4 was very good. In terms of the volume increase. Overall basis, I think we gained significantly in these two territories. It's not only that, these territories could be self-sufficient with their own production capabilities, but they also had to import to meet the increasing demand of packaging films in the North America markets. Which was done by exporting the material from India, from Nigeria, and occasionally from other facilities also. So clearly, U.S. market size that we have captured is way beyond our manufacturing capability in that region. And this is supporting our other investments made in India and Nigeria, which would have otherwise, given the demand supply mismatch in India, that comes very handy in terms of, keeping your plant operations at a much higher level. Europe is also positive. In Europe, the production volumes in Poland and Hungary surged in Q4. Poland went up by about close to about 17%, and Hungary was about 60% on a year-on-year basis. No doubt that the Red Sea crisis has also helped us to get the volumes and the margins, some higher margins this quarter. And because of the Red Sea, you have the consumer worried about the higher freight costs, higher, longer time it takes for the consignment to reach from India or elsewhere into Europe and America. So I think that's all is helping the local product, producers to gain volumes as well as to, have higher prices. As I had told earlier that, in Europe we had a new contract for power purchase in Hungary as well as in Poland from 1st of January. So Q4 we have been able to reduce our power costs in these two territories, and the impact could be as much as 40% versus what was prevailing before this new contract came into being. And this will take care of us in FY25 as well. And beyond that, whatever is the market conditions, we'll do further power purchase based on that. In terms of Africa business, Nigeria also expanded. Capacity utilization is about 67% in Q4. And we have captured a very large, more than 60% of the market there. I think gradually we'll have a much higher market share, given that, as I had said that, there was an additional duty imposed by virtue of which the imports had become costlier, and Nigeria has also seen a huge volatility in its currency. So the domestic buyers obviously are preferring to buy locally than to import, because they can order just in time rather than, at least a 90-day window for them to between ordering as well as receiving the material. And the way the currency is behaving over there, I think, there is going to be much higher market share that we will capture in that market in the quarters to come. In this quarter we were again hit by the currency devaluation in Nigeria and Egypt. Egypt devalued its currency from about 31 levels to about 48 levels, which led to about a 49% currency devaluation, and we had to have a currency devaluation impact of about 177 crore this quarter. Egypt had also devalued its currency in March of 2023 also, and which had led to a devaluation impact of 150 crores. And this year again in this quarter we are having a 177 crore of impact. Nigeria continues to devalue, for the whole of FY24 they've been devaluing. So last quarter again they devalued from somewhere around 900 to about 1300 levels, which led to overall in the year, in the financial year 24, their devaluation has been about 183%. And the overall devaluation on account of this is about 871 crores what we have to, take in the whole of the year. During the year we have set up new capacities We've completed our PCR chips plant in Egypt, which has an installed capacity of 18,000 tons per annum. That was done in January. We have also, on 31st of March, we've also commenced the Panipat PET chips resin facility. And later in the year, we'll also commission our same plant in Egypt as well, I think by the end of Q3. And we've commissioned CPP plant in Russia, which has an installed capacity of 18,000 tons. And later in the year, we'll also commission our CPP facility in Mexico as well later in the year. So in the current year, I think we're looking at completing our PET chips resin facility in Egypt, our CPP films plant in Mexico, and our Asepto bottlenecking, which takes the production capability from 7 billion packs to about 12 billion packs a year. Notably, in the current year, our sales volume in the aseptic packaging have been about 7.4 billion packs a year, which is more than our rated capacity of 7 billion packs. So in that business, we continue to be impacted by the capacity constraints, of which in the next season, which begins from January, I think we'll be all up and running with the higher capacity and look to better throughput from that business, which will be which will give us additional revenue as well as the profitability. On the debt basis, for as we had said, guided earlier, that the net debt will remain around 5,500. The net debt as on 31st of March is about 5,569 crores. And the projects that we have commissioned already, towards in Q4, as well as the projects that we're commissioning in FY25, I think we're very confident that, these projects will give us an additional turnover, anything between, 2,000 to 2,500 crores in the FY25. And the margins also, even if we take the margins in the current range for the various businesses, so obviously they'll add to the margins as well. In India, in the last few days, there has been a positive impact in the BOPP film prices, and we've seen about a 9% to 10% price increase across the industry, which will not only help the domestic markets, but will also help the overseas markets as the pressure of exports from India to Europe and America will go down to a certain extent, because, if your domestic prices are okay, the urge to export and the delays and the higher working capital involvement in exporting is taken care of. So we're expecting better prices in the PET, in the BOPET industry in the FY25, and I think that would have a significant impact on our profitability in FY25 plus, coupled with the additional revenues and the profitability coming from some of the new projects that we've commissioned in FY24 and being commissioned in FY25. I think we can look at least 15% top line growth and also EBITDA and at a PAT level, because of the additional impact of depreciation and interest, there will be We'll have to figure that out, but definitely at an EBITDA level, there'll be contribution. And if you look at this quarter at an operational EBITDA of 455 crores and last quarter EBITDA of 426 crores, so if we annualize these two numbers, so we are looking at about 1800 crores of the EBITDA from the existing setups plus the new investments which came into being in Q4 and will be effective in next year. The top line numbers going up by at least 15% and incremental EBITDA. So I think we should look at overall EBITDA in the range of 2000 crores plus in the next financial year. For sure. And anything which, sort of helps us get the better pricing on the packaging film side, I think that will be an add-on, profitability that, we at least hope that will come our way. So I think FY24 Q4 sets the tone for FY25, which is extremely, extremely positive note both on the volumes and the revenue side. Yes, the margins will also, start getting improved with the improved volumes and the improved revenues for sure. And as I said, that India, we've already seen about a 9 to 10% price hike for the BOPET films in the recent past, and hopefully that will get mirrored in the international markets as well. And with the better volumes, with the cost coming down per unit because of the better volumes, I think we are sure that FY25. The overall financial performance will improve substantially as compared to FY24 what we had. Thank you, gentlemen. That's what I had to say about the performance for this quarter, and I'm happy to answer any information requirements or any further clarifications you may want to seek. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So there's a couple of questions from my end. First, what is the peak sales volume that we can expect on full ramp-up of our overseas plants? Because, we have seen more than 100% capacity utilization in some of the plants in the past, as well as right now, Hungary also has put their PPT is running at more than 100%. So peak sales volume, what should it be for the overseas plants?
I think what we can look at is the better volumes coming from our plants. And see, we in Nigeria, there is definitely a scope. Then we have a scope in Mexico. India, I would say that, just one second, I'm just opening some numbers. So Mexico, we did about 54,000 tons. we can do about 62,000 tons, so 8,000 tons can come from there. Egypt, pet side, I think we are fine. In Poland, we can do about another 15,000 tons a year at the full, taking the full capacity. US and Russia are operating at full capacity. Hungary, we can do about another 10,000 tons a year. And Nigeria, we can do about another 15,000 tons a year. So 15,000 tons in Nigeria, another 11,000 tons in Hungary. Russia is all booked. USA is all booked. Poland, we can do about another 15,000 tons. Egypt, we can do about another 10,000 tons. Mexico, as I said, we can do about 8,000 tons more. Dubai is fine. India is, we can do about another 15,000 tons. So total 74,000 tons, we can do more, which means that what we did in FY 24 was 466, which is about 15% more output from the existing capacity. Is that what we can achieve?
Okay, and this does not include the CPP line of Russia and...
No, because they just come up, no?
CPP line? Right.
So they've just come up, no? So those volumes will be on top of this.
Right. So one CPP line in Russia, and you also mentioned one more CPP line, right, which are expecting...
Come later.
So that is in which region?
That will be end of Q2 somewhere.
Q2 of FY25. And that is expected in which region? Like, where are you setting up that line?
Mexico, I said.
Okay, so 36,000 will be incremental, as in over and above the 74,000 breakup that you just gave.
Yes.
Okay, understood. And any timelines that you can give, especially on the Nigeria ramp up? Like,
Nigeria, I think, in about a quarter's time, because, you know, US market continues to, give us additional volumes. So those volumes, given that they have a capacity bottleneck today of 60,000 tons of capacity in Mexico and another 26,000 tons capacity 30,000 tons capacity in US, so total capacity in that region is about 90,000 tons. And if we are doing on a consistent basis 120,000 tons in that market, could be more also. We are targeting about 140,000 tons over there. So that deficit will have to be supplemented by Nigeria, India, and maybe Egypt.
Okay, understood. And any timelines that you can give? Nigeria, you were saying in a quarter's time. So by end of quarter two, are you suggesting that by end of quarter two, we should be at full utilization in Nigeria?
We targeting about 80, from 67 to about 85%, because, you know, there are some constraints as well. So looking at those constraints, about 85% odd or so is what we targeting.
Okay, and for the overall volumes, like 74,000 plus 36, so for this overall peak utilization, like, can you give some timelines, whether it is end of FY25 or by when do you see this full ramp up?
See, I think the only question which to my mind is today, one is the India prices, where, you know, I see that, you know, from the peak, we are utilizing less capacity because the prices are not remunerative. So, some of our old facilities where the costs are high, there's no point in operating that. And so we running at a lower capacity than what we have. So I think India will depend on the pricing. Poland is Europe is dependent on the demand of the pet in the European markets, which which has gone up in this quarter. So if you see Q4 for Poland is on a year-on-year, on a quarter-on-quarter basis also is up 26-27%. So versus the last quarter, the Poland production is up by about 27%. So it needs to go up again to, you know, but on the year, on the full year basis, we were down by about 20% in Poland vis-a-vis FY23. So there is still a substantial, you know, headroom there to take the numbers up. I think there will be, I think the pricing improvement in India and the European demand coming back are the two factors that will play out there. So I'll keep a tentative guess that, you know, we can probably achieve that by Q3 or Q4. Poland.
Okay, understood. Now coming to the, you know, the substantial power cost savings that you mentioned because of the renewable energy tie-up in Dharwad. So can you quantify what were the savings in FY24 and on an annual basis, how much overall power cost savings can we expect to achieve?
I think we can expect to achieve about, I think 50% of the cost, 40% of the savings we can expect over our power costs in Dharwad. So Dharwad on an overall basis, I think about, we can look at about 35 crores savings, maybe little 35, 40 crores annual savings in our power costs.
35 to 40 crores annual savings, and they should start reflecting from the current fiscal.
Yeah, so the power supply hasn't started. We are expecting that somewhere in the month of June it will start.
Okay, got it. So my third question is on the CAPEX guidance and estimated net debt. What are you guiding in terms of CAPEX and estimated net debt for the current fiscal?
I think we'll take that in the current, in the next fiscal. Let's first complete some of these projects. I think we are at net debt of about 5,500 crores. We have a scheduled repayments aggregating to about 1,000 crores in this year, plus the new debts coming from some of the investments which are underway. But on an overall basis, I think the net debt level should be about 6,000 crores.
6,000 crores.
I'll like to answer this more in a much better way in the next quarter. But I think on a net debt basis, we'll be about 6,000 crores.
Okay, and CAPEX guidance?
CAPEX guidance, I'll give it to you in the next quarter.
Okay, got it. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Will this year see the end of all capital CAPEX?
I think largely you are right, yes. You know, as you reach towards the end of your capacities, you don't want to give away your market sort of share. And as we said that, you know, the films business as of now, is there is no expansion plan. There's nothing big that is really planned. But, you know, once the markets come back, you know, you always look to, ensure that you are sort of dependent on those. You don't lose your market share in those markets. Like I said, that today what we are doing is we are transporting a lot of material from India and Africa into US markets where we have a deficit position. Now this deficit position, of course, we don't have anything which is likely at any approval level and all that, but being a business person, if the production there is 90,000 and I can sell there 140,000 tons a year, I think on a long term sustainable basis it won't be possible for us to keep on meeting that demand from a far flung area. So obviously, as and when those far-flung areas are able to sell in their preferred markets first, because we didn't make those plants in India or Nigeria to sell to US markets. We made these plants there to sell to the local markets and the surrounding African countries as well. Now, just because there is a demand which is impacted elsewhere, we have this situation where U.S. is being fed from other sources. But at some point in time, I can't say maybe a year later, maybe 2 years later, there'll be definitely a case for the, ramping up the capacity there so that, you can meet that demand locally. And, all these things, again, the freight plays a very major role in some of all these. Now, all of a sudden, the freight rates, we were taking a lot of materials from Nigeria from China. Now, in the last 1 month, the freight rates have tripled from China to Nigeria. So, end of the day, while you can live with this small eruption here and there, but if they are on a consistent basis, then, you look to ensure that, you de-risk your business to the extent possible. Now, obviously, if Nigeria is getting its material at a much higher price, so it will have to sell to the U.S. at a higher cost as well. But, the U.S. markets may not be able to afford those costs just because, the freight rates from China to Nigeria have, sort of gone up. So as I say that, while these adjustments are possible with a player like us, who is a global player, multi-country presence and all that, you can do all that optimization, but in the long run, the endeavor is to serve, our motto has always been to serve the local markets. Otherwise, like many others, we would have also set up capacities in India to serve European or American markets from here, and which many companies do, obviously they do, but their risks to the business are much more than, our risks in terms of the logistical challenges, in terms of the freight to those markets, in terms of the working capital deployment to those markets, because, it takes at least 90-day cycle to get the material over there, and then you sell on the credit. So, the credit can go up to 140, 150 days in some of those markets. So our business model has been pretty stable, Produce locally, sell locally, and in the adjoining areas. So wherever these opportunities are there, it's there in the America markets, North America markets now, as and when the situation will improve in India, in Nigeria, and all that, I think there is a merit in terms of considering an investment in that region. I hope I'm clear. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, that's clear.
Does it answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So on the Exacto, what is the expected timeline to commission, and then after, what is the timeline that we're looking at to ramp up to 12 billion packs?
So 12 billion ramp up will happen somewhere in September or October at the latest. But, you know, by the time it happens, then it does not impact you much. You can stabilize because your season starts in January. So by January, if we are up and running at 12 billion packs a year, which we're going to ensure that that happens. So for the next season also, in FY25, we'll have one quarter where we'll get the higher numbers. Now, whether our team is able to sell today, this year they've sold 7.5 billion packs. Yes, they had a capacity bottleneck because of which, they probably couldn't accept more orders than that. And next year, I think, depending on the market, from our side, we'll have to, in the first quarter itself, we'll have to go from, 7.5 to 12. But it might take the season more to reach that level. All depends on the market, the demands. We developed substantial export markets. Even this year, we exported about 40% of output from India plant into the global markets. So it's about 60% is what we sell locally, and about 40% is what we export.
So is there any margin difference between the exports and domestic sales?
Largely, it's the same. Bahut lamba choda. Sometimes because of the freight, it may vary to an extent, but largely, it evens out. One or two percent here and there, sometimes export is better or sometimes local is better. I think it depends on the market dynamics at a point in time.
And on the EBITDA margin, like what were the margins for this sector in FY24 and what are we guiding for the current fiscal?
Exacto will always remain 20% plus margin business. It's currently 20% plus and it will remain a 20% plus business.
Understood. Coming to the forex loss, so whatever forex loss we have reported in FY24, so how much of that was cash loss and how much of it was notional loss?
So I think I would say a very large part of it. See, in Nigeria, in India, if you make your balance sheet, you make it in rupees. No. So in Nigeria, like if you make your balance sheet in local currency, in Naira, it's a healthy balance sheet. But the moment you convert from Naira to dollar and then from dollar to INR, so between these two currencies, whatever is the translation effect, that is what it is showing here. I think a very small part is what can be attributed to be as, when you are converting, you are not only converting the year-end assets and liabilities, you are also converting your average sales for the year, your average purchases for the year and all that. So all that is only notional because, the transactions have happened in the local currencies. So I think very insignificant portion is a cash one and most of it is in the nature of the translation losses.
Got it. And a couple of clarifications. So you mentioned additional revenues of 2,000 to 2,500 crores from the existing facilities as well as the new commissioning in FY25. So this is at a console level or you're just talking about overseas?
Sorry, it is at a console level.
This is console level. Okay. And you also mentioned about some power contracts that have gotten renewed with effect from 1st of January in Poland and Hungary.
Yeah.
So, based on that, you are saying that the power cost has reduced by roughly 40%. Did I get that correctly?
Yeah, you are right. You are right.
Okay.
In Poland and.
What is it? Right. So what is the tenure of these agreements and how does it work? Are these like fixed power cost contracts or how does it work?
So it's a mixture of both. There are certain things which are on spot basis, and there are certain things which we hedge on a quarter basis or two quarters. So I think FY 2025 we'll be through with this contract, and then next year we'll have to again look at this. But if we see the trend in Europe now, I think the power prices are now stable, so they don't whatever we saw huge fluctuations immediately after the Russia-Ukraine war, but thereafter now everything is stable. And in respect of that period also, we got some help sort of from the government in the current financial year already.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot. That would be it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Do you see any opportunity opening up on the EPR, that is extended producer responsibility part of it?
I think while EPR is now mandatory, the effectiveness of this and how the seriousness comes into play and how it is implemented, I think remains to be seen. There was a stipulation earlier also that you have to burn the burning of all this in the cement plant boilers was allowed, and the people, everybody misused that, and it was only happening on the paper and nothing actually was moving to those locations and all that. I hope that the stricter norms in terms of recyclability are put into place and they are monitored also accordingly. Only then, obviously the policy has all the right intentions in terms of creating more circularity. It is possible to do that. We have demonstrated by putting up our own recycling facilities. The purpose is to not actually look at that as a business, but more as a showcasing to the world that this mechanical recycling is possible, and that's what the new EPR policy of the government also promotes, the recycling. The biodegradability is also provided in that policy, but that might take slightly more time. But as I said, the intent behind the policy is good. The implementation is the key, and it starts with a certain percentage to begin with, and going up much higher in the later years. So let's hope that how this pans out. In anticipation of that, and in anticipation of the fact that there is a demand around the world that that the recycled material has to be used, that is where we have set up the PCR plants in Mexico. India, we had set up a small plant a few years ago, which had a capacity of about 9,600 odd tons, and in Mexico and Egypt now we have plants which have capacity of 15,000 tons and 18,000 tons. So we are all expecting that with the regulations coming in and with the conscious level and the consumer asking for a recycled material, these investments will give us the substantial inroad into the recycled PET market. Of course, the BOPP recycling is still not on the anvil. But through MLP recycling is only that is possible, which we are today doing in our Jammu plant, in our Noida plant, and globally in our Poland plant, as well as in the Mexican plant. So we are trying to do the bit on our part by investing in those capacities, and with the anticipation that self-regulation and government-driven regulation will help drive these businesses. End of the day, if you ask us, do we have the intention to be big in this business? The answer is no. The answer for us is, we want to be a leader in the biodegradable films business. Recycling, whether MLP or PCR, is just a way for us to take the being a global leader in the BOPET film industry. We want to lead the market in that particular way. So I think let's see for the next couple of years as to how the regulation itself as well as the government-driven regulations comes into play. And definitely we are totally updated on the situations, talking to our customers and all that. And you'll be surprised to know that even the very large companies, given the cost arbitrage between the recycled material as well as the virgin material, in the absence of regulation, they still try to save on. They try to save on some costs. While you may see that when they make media announcements, they have next 5 years we'll have this. But still, there is a hesitation to start even in a small way, given the costs, additional costs that it involves today.
So do I get you correctly when you say that it's not a big opportunity for you, this recycling part? Only the biodegradable part is a big opportunity.
Biodegradable is a big opportunity for us. So recycling
availability is not a big opportunity for you.
Yes.
Okay. But why do you say that? I mean, because so much of the plastic waste are getting generated. So why do you say it's not a...
I think the opportunity is, through the small and medium enterprises who will collect, get all these garbage. So you can't set up a big plant in Gujarat where the waste comes from all of India and then it is processed there. It's not going to happen like that. So it's always recycling will have to be a very localized affair, and the local municipalities will bring the all the garbage to these sites, and then these sites will be these local sites will do that. Now we don't want to do that into that. Our
how does the biodegradability part give you the a big opportunity?
So the biodegradability
is local also, isn't it? Collection and all those things.
So the biodegradability theory is once the capability is different. So biodegradability is what? Today, like Coke has an offense which is sent to all the bottling plants, whether they are owned by Coke or not. So it's like that. So, you make, these biodegradable enzymes in one or two markets in India and globally. And then from there, you supply to the rest of the world. Now, the biodegradable, the way India has done, it's both recycling or biodegradability, depending on the customer's choice today. Because end of the day, if you ask the large companies also, they are also not wanting to set up the recycling plant. So somebody else will have to do the recycling plants for them, so that, you know, they could be compliant with the new EPR rules. So if they are not, if there are not recycling capabilities that are coming up, then the only way for them to be compliant is to have the biodegradable films, if which even if they are not collected, there is no obligation to collect them and process them and get the give your presentations before the authorities that you actually recycle this much and this much. So while recycling is a localized opportunity, the biodegradable is a centralized opportunity, whereby adding the enzymes when you are making the packaging films, you are done with that stage, and companies, the brands do not have any further liability beyond that.
Okay. Now, this biodegradable thing will be part of the packaging itself, or once the packages get collected, it's put a biodegradable enzyme or something?
Then the films are manufactured, packaging film is manufactured. At that time, only the enzyme is added.
Okay.
So this film, when you will actually throw after eating Lay's chips packet on the road, on the ground and all that, it will start biodegrading.
How much does the packaging cost?
I think the difference should be between 20% to 25%. Hello?
Oh, the participant line got disconnected, sir. So, ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question, we now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for being on this call, and I think we are getting into FY25, as I said earlier, on the positivity created by the performance in FY24 Q4 and the projects that have got commissioned, and those are likely to get completed in FY25. Adding to the additional revenues and profitability in the FY25 and beyond. And fingers crossed on margin improvement in the packaging films industry. The demand supply mismatches has to be taken care of, because without that, there is no possibility, much possibility of a price increase. In the COVID period, people have spent, 250 rupees per kg on the packaging film. And today, when the price is 100 rupees only, of course, the raw materials have also corrected. But then, that's the kind of a delta that this world has seen, post-COVID and during the COVID period in the packaging films and their raw materials.
Thank you, Mr. Bhatia. So thank you also to the participants once again. Ladies and gentlemen, for the engaging questions, we will soon have the transcript of this call on our website, www.uflexlimited.com. We look forward to speak to you again in the coming quarters. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We thank the management for this call. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.